Grace to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this evening. Amen. I think Maundy Thursday is one of the most confusing days of the church year. I wonder how many people still think it's called Monday Thursday. I know for certain that most kids do. But it's not Monday Thursday. It's Maundy Thursday, because the word Maundy means something that hardly anybody knows. Maundy, it's taken from French and the Latin word mandatum, which means command. So it's referring to the new command that Jesus gave his disciples on the night when they ate the Last Supper. After Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So tonight is about this commandment, this command that all Christians are given as followers of Christ to be witnesses to those who do not have faith yet. Now, if I were to ask you to describe Christians and how church members treat one another with one word, what one word would you pick? Would it be loving? Maybe it would be polite or passive-aggressive, even though I think that might be two words. At least it has a dash. Condescending sometimes, rude a lot of times. There's nothing like a good church fight. Often at church, we're okay, but a lot of times we really hurt each other's feelings. We offend people, the people sitting right there in our pew. The problem is that a lot of people would not characterize the church and its members as loving, especially towards one another. I mean, we can usually be polite, and of course, you all are loving people in general, but sometimes that is just not how we treat each other, and it's certainly not always how we talk about each other. Sometimes it's easier to be loving to people you don't know, to a complete stranger, than to someone you've been living with in church for 30 years. They're the people that you can't stand, but they're the people Jesus says we're supposed to love. The command stands even though it's difficult, because this is a way for us to witness to the kind of God we have, not only to how he treats us, but what he calls us to do and how he asks us to treat other people. People who don't have faith in Jesus, I guess, are supposed to be able to look at the people in the church and say, "I want to be a part of that. I want to be loved like that. I want to be a part of a community like that." But instead, it's common for people to hear stories about how other church members are mistreating them. Now, would you want to be a part of a church if one of its members just told you about what a jerk somebody at that church was? I mean, it might be okay for them, but it's not probably something you want to get involved with. Jesus envisions the church in a much different way. He says in the Gospel of John that he wants the church to be characterized by love and service. Is that how most churches have become? Jesus knew, see, that night that the Father had given him all the power in the world, that he had come from God and he was going back to God. And what did he do with all that power? He washed his disciples' feet, because he thought that was the most effective message to get his point across, not to simply tell his disciples about how important it was to love one another, but to actually do it to them, to love them, to serve them. His point was, if he, the promised Messiah, could serve their most basic needs, washing the dirtiest part of their body, then they would have no excuse to serve one another in the same way when he was gone. But somehow we just have lost that message. If I asked you where you'd go if you got physically hurt, you might say, the hospital. Of course, the hospital. If I asked you where you would go if you were in emotional distress, maybe you would say, a therapist, something like that. Jesus seemed to have imagined that when people were hurt or sick in any way, that they would go to the church, that they would go to the church community as the place for help of any kind, that the church was full of people who lived a life of service, where no task was too small or meaningless. I remember hearing from a guy that lived in Ethiopia. He was talking to me about when Christians become sick, where he was at least, they didn't go to the hospital first, they went to the church first. They would call the pastor and the elders to pray for them before they ever went to the hospital. And if they needed help paying a bill, they didn't go to the local outreach place, they didn't go to the local social worker, they went to the church. Because of course that's where they would go. If they were in need, that's where all the people who loved them so much were. The church was the place where you would go if you needed help of any kind. Because if they could help you, then they would. But somehow in America, we've got this message kind of different. If we're at church, we want to take care of ourselves. We don't want to ask other people for help. And we kind of feel like we have to have everything all together in order to walk in the church doors. We don't want to go there if we're struggling with something. Sometimes I ask people why they haven't been to church for a while. Of course, this was pre-pandemic. But they'd say, well, my life is really a mess right now. It's like, well, then Jesus thought you should be at church especially now, not staying at home. Well, you need a community right now. We tend to treat church more like a country club than a hospital in general. Most people want their church to be known as the place where there are lots of youth and kids programs so that families will want to come. Or they want their church to be the one that is known for going on lots and lots of mission trips. Or pastors, they want to be well known for their inspiring sermons, or that they serve the church that has the best looking building, or the best music. The church has kind of taken its cue from the business world, I guess, trying to market itself to keep up with the times. However, that wasn't Jesus' vision for us. Jesus wants us to be known as the place where the humble servants go, not the most popular leaders. It wouldn't have mattered so much to him whether we had a ton of people at church every week. He would want to know how many people were served each week. The inspirational messages, I don't think that would have mattered as much to him as whether the people attending felt loved when they came to church. And how much money was raised for world missions? I mean, he would have cared about that, but I think he also would have cared very much whether everyone attending their local church had their basic needs met. Rather than the pastor being the most respected person in town, Jesus, I think, probably would have asked whether the pastor was a person in town, whether anybody would feel comfortable going to if they needed help. But I think this is a very countercultural attitude. For example, think about something like a political campaign. News programs show exactly who is leading in the race according to two big stats: their poll numbers and how much money they raised. If you are raising a ton of money, they figure you must be doing something right. You're the real deal. But nobody ever seems to ask how the money is spent, whether it's being spent effectively. What is it being used for? The same is, I think, true for the church. We talk about how much money we've raised. We talk about how big our budget is and whether we're meeting our budget. But I think we should also ask, are we using the money in a helpful way? Are people being served? Is it being used for the right things? In fact, sometimes I think, at least this is true for me, at least in the past, I've given my money because I didn't want to actually go out and do something. I give my money so that someone else will do it. We would rather pay someone else to do it for us because then we still feel like we've done something, even though we didn't actually have to do the service ourselves. But Jesus wasn't interested in the popularity of the church or the size of the budget or how good we looked to the rest of the world. He just wanted us to love people in practical ways. He wanted us to be counted on to show grace and acceptance to people in society, even when and nobody else would. He wanted the Christian church to be a place that would be a sanctuary in the world, rather than just another part of the world. He wanted the church to be in the world, but not of the world. So we are called by Jesus to a life of service, where no job is too small and unimportant, where no person is left out or unloved. And why does he believe this is possible? Because the church is filled with people like you and me who have experienced God's unconditional love for us so that we can love others and even love each other because Christ loved us first. That's the message. The question now is whether we will go forth and live it out. All I can tell you is that when you leave this place, Jesus will walk out of here with you and give you the strength to do it. Amen.